As an added benefit to reoccurring donors, we are sending out DCO face masks to any monthly contributors for 3 months or more at the $5 plus level. Please send your size preference, either large or youth or small size, along with membership email and mailing address to info@dcontario.org. And you can check out what they look like in the show notes. This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
My name is Brenda, and I'm currently a BSW student completing my placement at DCO. In this week's episode, I interviewed Marilyn Clark, an art therapist candidate and registered psychotherapist from the Delton Glebe Counseling Center. As a courtesy to those of you who are listening, I would like to provide a trigger warning as Marilyn shares with us her research on the use of art therapy with those who have lost a loved one to suicide. Tune in closely to hear about the therapeutic benefits of art therapy and other great insights.
Hi, Marilyn, and welcome back to another episode. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you, Brenda. How are you doing?
I'm doing well also. Thank you. So can you please tell us a little bit about yourself for people who don't know who you are?
Yes. So I am an art therapist candidate and qualifying psychotherapist at the Delton Glebe Counseling Center in Waterloo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I am coming to art therapy. I'm a new art therapist to be, having spent most of my working life in the violence against women sector.
Okay, cool. And so today we're going to be talking about your work on suicidality. So how did you get into the field and what has inspired you to go into art therapy specifically?
Yeah, so following the death of my mother by suicide in 1990, mm-hmm. I pursued art making as a way to cope with her loss. Mm. So I think that the creative expression really offered me the opportunity for emotional release and as a means of self-soothing. Mm-hmm. And then as I worked in the violence against women sector, I became intimate with the impact of trauma through the women that I supported. Mm-hmm. And so when thinking about a career change when I turned 50, art therapy seemed a way to integrate my experiences. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a really good fit.
Oh, nice. It's awesome to go into something that's a really good fit for you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And can you please tell us about your research and why did you decide to focus your research on survivors of suicide loss?
Right. So my experience with the death of my mother, as I mentioned, by suicide has led to ongoing curiosity into the way those affected by suicide loss are supported. Mm-hmm. So my major project, which is part of the completion for my requirements of graduating from my program at the Toronto Art Therapy Institute, mm-hmm. reflects my emerging attentiveness really over time to thinking about that question, how can we support suicide loss survivors, mm-hmm. and how can we support them to heal and make meaning of their loss, mm-hmm. and specifically through the modality of art therapy. So that this query is guiding my research really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm glad you're doing research on it, because before hearing about your research, I usually just hear about how to support people so that they don't commit suicide. I didn't really think about those who are survivors of suicide loss. So I'm glad to hear about your research and to learn more about it.
Yes. Yes, because we know through we know that there is a gap in that research, and that's been identified through some of the major researchers in grief after suicide and suicidality. And so this is we've identified that we need to understand the consequences of suicide loss.
Yeah. And what are some major findings that you have discovered through your research?
I'm just in the process of working with participants, and so the study findings have not yet been collated.
Okay.
However, there's a lot of work that goes into preparing your proposal and so on, and a lot of research. So what I know is that visual art modalities have been widely incorporated into grief therapy. So this is not new. And so my preliminary research reveals that many aspects of grief, not associated with suicide loss, do intersect with the experience of suicide loss survivors. So there's a lot of similarities. However, we need more research, and we need to put more effort into addressing the nuances related to suicide loss. So this academic research framework, is helping me. The preliminary work is helping me to understand the unique characteristics, and of course, my own experience with suicide loss is also something that I can draw from. But, here is an important research finding. So that negative social attitudes pertaining to suicide and to suicide loss contribute to persistent, I would say, disruptions in the ability to heal following suicide loss. So I want to pay attention to that. And so my research has explored the impact of broader stigma. And leading to even just what they call self-stigma, which is connected to guilt and self-blame, and makes it much more difficult to process grief. So, So this the therapy and art therapy, the client really has, hopefully, will be given the opportunity to integrate their grief, their experience of loss. And so that's what I'm interested in, discovering how that can be done. And certainly my participants will support me in that through the feedback that they will eventually be providing through the experience.
And yeah, it sounds like the work you're doing is very, very important. How long will it take until you come to the end of your research?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I would really like to be done before the year, third year, 2021, and much sooner than even that. So okay. I'm hoping even by the end of the summer or at the beginning of the fall of this year that I will have done my research and have collated it and submitted it for review and to submit it to really graduate. That's the final step.
I look forward to reading more about it if you make it public or anything.
Thank you. And yes, I will let you know then, Brenda.
Okay, sounds good. And how do you hope your findings will help the field of suicidology and those bereaved by suicide loss?
Well, I'm really interested in ways to decrease feelings of isolation within this suicide loss community, and so that for me is really key. How do we penetrate the feelings of isolation, and how do we fill those gaps through really good competent services? So the art therapy sessions particularly aim to support that the person through mitigating the burden of despair or loneliness that they might feel. And that's a really important aspect to the work I'm doing.
Okay. And just as you were talking about that, it reminded me about how we're in COVID right now and isolation is a major thing. So for people engaging in art therapy, how does COVID and isolation play a role?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a good question, and I think that art therapy allows us to access those feelings, those difficult feelings. Mm-hmm. It allows us to process them. It allows us to externalize them, to get them out of our body and out of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so people do find relief in that process. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so universally, art therapy can be applied to so many different areas, depression and anxiety, loneliness, all of those pieces.
Yeah. And is it possible to do art therapy online, or would you have to go into the counseling center?
It is absolutely possible to do it online, something I would never have envisioned at the beginning of this pandemic, and, mm-hmm. and many of my clients are online.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I know you've spoken about stigma before, but how can we in our day-to-day lives combat the stigma that surrounds discussion about mental health and suicidality?
Yeah, I was thinking, thinking about this, and I recall recently listening to your guest Val in the April series, mm-hmm. I believe, who spoke so openly about her own. She spoke with Caitlin, the other interviewer,
yes.
so openly about her experience with suicidal ideation and stigma and mental health and ways in which she can support and advocate for better responses.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's so many people that are doing this work, and her speaking about it is just really so incredibly critical, mm-hmm. to destigmatizing. And I just really encourage people to listen to that, because she speaks to that from a very, very personal level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being able to be open also allows people to learn more and to be open and engaged in conversations instead of just hiding it to yourself, because you never know how it could really help someone else as well.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the outreach piece, and it takes a lot of courage to do that.
Yeah. And what aspects of art therapy makes it an effective tool for those bereaved by suicide?
Well, first of all, it's my hope that the therapy space experience will cultivate compassion. Like, in that space, it will cultivate compassion for oneself. So, mm-hmm. that's really, really an important piece to the therapeutic model and my own approach.
Mm-hmm.
So as I mentioned, we know that the externalization of emotions is very important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To the healing process. That's, mm-hmm. that's a very tangible way, an obvious way that you can do that through art therapy. Mm-hmm. So it can be seen as an excellent outlet. So art making activities designed to explore loss, mm-hmm. they can also facilitate insight,
yeah.
and promote self-compassion and the externalization, as I've mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
There is the opportunity to also explore meaning making,
mm-hmm.
Through specific art activities. And we have talked about this: how do we make meaning, and how do you go on with your life? And this is a particularly difficult thing to do in facing suicide loss,
mm-hmm.
but it is possible. And meaning making and having a continued bond with that deceased can be very interrupted with suicide because of the, mm-hmm. complexity of the nature of death. So we're looking at ways to explore meaning making through, mm-hmm. art making activities.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then talking about the loss in that space, I hope that, like as we talked about before, to support lessening the stigma of suicide,
mm-hmm.
loss. And to raise awareness, even in art therapy, that, like, even from a stepping out of even my research, I hope to raise awareness of art therapy as a viable modality for grief work.
Yeah, because sometimes when we go through things in life, it's hard to find the words to express your thoughts and emotions, and it sometimes makes you feel more irritated or frustrated. Mm-hmm. So it's like a nice way to be able to express yourself and freely express yourself without any type of judgment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's key, is suspension of self-judgment and the cultivation of self-compassion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's your personal favorite mode of art?
Oh, well, I'm a textile artist. So in my own practice, I work mm-hmm. with material, and I work on an industrial sewing machine. I've spent all of my art career working in textiles. Mm-hmm. That being said, I don't do a lot of textile work in art therapy. So I really love collage, I love working particularly in grief work. I mm-hmm. love working with clay, and clay is a very important and useful medium for grief, particularly because you can enact the process of grief in the body through pulling and molding and hollowing out to create a sculpture. So mm-hmm. it's quite a useful and embodied experience when you work with clay. Mm-hmm. I like painting. Mm-hmm. I like constructing. Mm-hmm. So there's all so any modality. And particularly if the participant or the client is responding to it, you really enjoy the modality.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And do your clients choose what mode of art they want to use in art therapy, or do you choose it for them or advise them?
Again, a really good question. So the art activity or the art invitation, mm-hmm. Will often be suggested with deliberation. So we want to look at the benefits of the activity. Mm-hmm. And but if somebody doesn't like certain materials, and that does happen. So for example, somebody may not like working with chalk pastels because mm-hmm. they feel odd on their hands and they don't like the sensation. Yeah. Then I certainly would make known to the client or the participant that if you do not want to work with something mm-hmm. and or something might be triggering, we want to be really mindful and respectful of that person. We need to be able to adapt to their own voice around what materials are resonating or not resonating. So it's kind of a negotiation and a little bit of a conversation, mm-hmm. but always in the end, if somebody's not comfortable with an invitation, that's particularly why I like to call it an invitation, they can mm-hmm. say no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, especially if they're going to be the ones engaging in the therapy to help them out.
Yes, yeah. Of course, yes.
And do you have to be artistic to attend art therapy?
Well, the answer to that is no. Many people many people have negative experiences with art making. Mm. And the more you talk about it with people, they'll say, oh, I had this poor experience, or I was put down for the work I've done, or I have a sibling or a mother or a father who's really artistic and I'm not, I can't draw. So we have a lot of negative messaging and mm-hmm. feelings around art making. And some people even have trauma around art making, so we have to be mindful of that.
Yeah.
And so or they might say, I have no visual imagination. So that inner critic might be very present. And that's mm-hmm. really important. And art therapists were trained to understand that and to address that with the individual. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, we know that art therapy is about the process and not the product. So that's mm-hmm. an important message to send to your client. Mm-hmm. And we're focused, art therapists are trained to mm-hmm. focus on the product and to support, to focus on the process rather, mm-hmm. and to support the client with when the inner critic arises. So that can give you information about yourself, right, when that inner critic arises. Mm-hmm. And it's the therapist's role to encourage a safe, non-judgmental environment in order to really explore symbolic thinking. A person needs to feel safe in engaging. So that's mm-hmm. that sometimes takes a little bit of groundwork.
Yeah, I find that when you focus more on the process and not the product, you're more easier on yourself and you just appreciate the process for what it is.
Yes, mm-hmm. and that's what we really want to be thinking. We want to be thinking symbolically, not critically about the work that we're doing. But again, we have to undo some of our thinking sometimes mm-hmm. around those critical messages.
Yeah, and speaking of critical messages, do you think there is a stigma towards men engaging in art therapy? And do you find more women are more likely to choose art therapy?
Well, indeed, we know that the profession is female dominated. So yeah. that, and we certainly, I have more female, if we're talking about, you know, binary male-female, I have more female identified clients in mm-hmm. my practice. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So the question, like, I wonder why, you know, women are more likely to choose it, right?
Yeah.
And this is a question that certainly people are thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are harmful paradigms of masculinity that get internalized,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and what are our ideas of positive masculinity and social versus socialized norms, gender norms of expression, right? So mm-hmm. these are really important questions. It's a really good question too. I'm glad you brought it up.
And yeah. With that being said, what would you say to men to encourage them to try out art therapy?
Oh yeah. Well, one of the selling points that I know that I've been interested in is that art therapy for military service members has been quite effective.
Okay.
And we know so we know that art therapists have gone into those communities and had some success with post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury and has really effectively improved the quality of lives. So we know that it is a modality that does not have to be gendered. I mean, we can mm-hmm. and certainly there's servicemen and women who've accessed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that men in general attend therapy less than women. So we know that mm-hmm. statistically, and particularly in grief therapy, we know that men attend less than women. Mm-hmm. So I would say that art therapy is really in a good position to undermine the power of traditional masculine paradigms.
Mm-hmm.
It has a powerful potential to help men, young men, and address societal expectations of them, you know, what it means to be masculine, and then that can of course open up the ability to really come to know their true selves through expression and thrive as healthy adults. So it's got and to maybe break damaging ideas of self. So I just think it has so many possibilities, and I know for myself, I have a young adult son who really spent his teenage years drawing and mm-hmm. painting and I'm sure that it helped him cope through the tumultuous times of teenage years. So I would encourage that, to challenge those ideas of why.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you engaging in something that might be traditionally more female dominated?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we're all human, and it shouldn't matter what gender you are to be able to express yourself in this different ways to be able to help you through what you're going through.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want opportunities for everybody to experience how wonderful art therapy and how, you know, that as a modality, how powerful it can be.
Yeah. And do you have future research interests for the field of suicidology or those who are bereaved by suicide loss? And if so, what are they?
Well, I'm going to continue this research to research ways in which we can effectively, particularly through creative arts modalities, we can effectively support those bereaved by suicide, because I do think that there's lots of work to be done, and I would like to be able to somehow, if I were to think about research or even my own work, to somehow strengthen those community supports.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the future when much of my work will be, certainly my academic work will be finished,
mm-hmm.
to take that and to harness it somehow to improve services. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be ongoing, and just listening and learning from others as to, you know, what I can do to support that goal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your research interest. I know it's going to do amazing things in the future and even in the present right now.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the research, mm-hmm. and it definitely feels right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and do you have anything else you'd like to add that we did not touch on?
You know, I think that we had these really interesting questions, mm-hmm. and I really appreciate, again, the opportunity to speak about both the two things I'm very passionate about, suicide loss and, mm-hmm. of course, art therapy, which definitely makes my heart sing. So I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, Brenda.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us about your research. I've really been inspired by it, and it's helped me to gain more knowledge about the field, and I look forward to learning more about it.
Thank you so much again for the opportunity. It was a wonderful conversation. I really enjoyed it.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Again. Okay, and thank you for your work again.
Oh, thanks.
Take care.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi. I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forums podcast. We are committed to providing the most current and up-to-date information. With your help, we can make it better. Please consider going to tips.pinecast.com/jar/distress-and-crisis-ontario.com or by clicking the link in the show notes. And by donating, monthly contributors will be able to access a special podcast feed. In it, we'll have additional content and some more in-depth pieces on some of our most popular topics. Thank you.